Well, thank you, Tiffany. I tell you what, that's two good specials tonight telling us to count our blessings, amen? And we have been blessed, there's no doubt about that. Tonight we have, we do have folks coming for Thanksgiving. Seems like more leave, but we've had some coming. And tonight it's good to have Brother Mike Case with us. He and his family, he has got Josiah and Joanna back there. And Joy, you back there somewhere? Yeah, I see you, okay. Good to see them. I've asked Brother Mike to come bring the message tonight. We appreciate him. He served with us here, graduated our college, served so long on staff, and we just didn't know what we could do when he was going to leave, but God's sustaining us. But he once in a while we get to see him. He comes back, and so we appreciate him coming tonight. Of course, he's down there in Port Charlotte with another one of our young men we're proud of, and that's Pastor Jay Shepherd down there at Tri-City Baptist. And we're going to ask Brother Case to come on and bring the message tonight. Good to have you.
Preacher, thank you so much. Appreciate you, sir. Well, I am glad to come back to Landmark, and Preacher, I am glad to see that you all have survived without me. That is good. Glad to see that. Had somebody tonight come to me, and they said something that was quite a blessing to me. I appreciated it. They said, man, when you left a hole here. And I was like, man, that's sweet. And then I thought about it. And I realized, you know what bombs do? They leave holes. Like, I think if I was to be more honest, I would have to say, it's not that I'm glad Landmark has survived without me. I'm glad that Landmark survived me while I was here. Because, I did blow some holes in some areas, I think. I was sitting here, and, you know, it's amazing. I don't know if it's because I've been gone for a little while or because I'm getting older. But I'm going to go with gone for a little while is what I'm going to go with. Those memories start flooding back of the things that you remember. And I remember, I think, the first chapel that I preached for the elementary school. Kids are sitting, you know, right over here. And I thought for sure I was going to be dead because I got the kids a little too riled up. And we ripped the first pew off the floor in my first chapel here because I could not be controlled, I guess, is what happened there. And I just remember that the leader of the chapel at that point in time just looked at me and says, you better fix that, because if Dr. Carter finds out you ripped his pew off of the floor, you're dead. And I believed every word that he told me at that moment. I believed every word. And so there have been a lot of things, and I am so thankful for Landmark Baptist Church. When I just stop and I think about all that Landmark Baptist Church means to me, means to my family, means to my ministry that I am able to serve in, I received so many things from Landmark Baptist Church. When I come back and I just look over the congregation, I just see faces of faithfulness. Those that have been here and served, those that have served my family in many regards. My son refused to sit with my family tonight because he saw the shorts come in. And he said, I don't want to sit with you guys. I want to sit with them. The reason is because they invested in my child. My wife is a result of Landmark Baptist Church. Thank you for those of you that have been here, served for years. Thank you for allowing me to serve at Landmark. Thank you for not killing me, Dr. Carter, because I know you probably thought about it a few times. I know the one time, something about the pews and me and Dr. Carter, it was like something that just, I don't know if Dr. Carter will remember this, but the only time I truly faced the wrath of Dr. Carter was when I was given the task to change the light bulbs in the auditorium. Nobody told me how to change the light bulbs in the auditorium. They just told me to change the light bulbs in the auditorium. So I came up with my own ingenious way to get a large piece of plywood and just slide it across the top of the pews and then put a ladder on top of that. I thought that was ingenious until Dr. Carter came in and saw me scratching up his pews. And so at that moment in time, I learned about the wrath of Dr. Carter, and I learned how much he loves these pews. So thank you for not killing me, Dr. Carter. I appreciate it. I do. It has been a wonderful time when the Lord worked on our hearts to move us on in ministry, to go with Pastor Shepherd at Tri-City. It was bittersweet. We were excited about what the Lord had for us, but we were also heartbroken that we would have to leave Landmark. I was going to have to pull my wife from the only home she had ever had. She was going to be leaving, shall we say, the only pastor that she had ever been under. And that was not an easy task We're glad that the Lord has moved us. We're very, very happy where the Lord has placed us. We are enjoying the ministry there. The Lord is blessing. Tri-City Baptist Church is growing. There's a lot of great things happening. We just started a brand new bus route. Pastor Shepherd is personally running that bus route himself. And then we've got new members coming in even just this next Sunday night. And the Lord is blessing. We are excited about what the Lord has for us. It's unique. The ministry that the Lord has given me there, my heart has always been kind of in training, teaching the next generation, shall we say. And that's always played out in children's ministries. And it's kind of changed slightly, I guess you would say, in that Pastor Shepherd he looked at me and he says, I'm going to give you a ministry, but any ministry I hand to you, I don't want you to stay there. I want you to teach somebody to take that ministry because I want you to then go train somebody else in the next ministry. So when I first got there, I took what would be a classic ministry for me, one that I've served in for years, which would be a junior church class. And over the last, I guess it would be 3 weeks ago now, I had the privilege of handing that over to the team that I've been able to train and work with. And God has given us a wonderful young man. We know he's wonderful because his name is Michael. And so it's just great. He's taken that junior church program and done an awesome job with it. And I have to admit, over the last 3 weeks, I felt a little weird. It's been 15 years since I have been in an 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning, because I was always upstairs. And I stand in 11 o'clock service and I'm like, I don't know what to do around here. There's no little kids to tell to sit down. Nobody's picking their nose. I don't know what to do in this place. But it's been very, very good. I've been enjoying it and looking forward to the things that God has for us coming up. I am here because my wife's family, we all got together today to do our Thanksgiving service today. And so that was great. And so I'm preaching on a very full stomach. I am very content right now. It is wonderful. And then tomorrow, my plan, I haven't told my wife this, but my plan is that we're going to bounce around to as many people we know and enjoy as many Thanksgiving dinners tomorrow in the area. So if we swing by our house, just throw some food at me. I'll leave. Okay, that's all it takes. And I will get out of your hair. As we think about this Thanksgiving season, it is natural for us, even like the songs we sang tonight, it is natural for us to put our hearts towards being thankful. I enjoy the Thanksgiving season. I kind of had to go back on one of my convictions this year, so pray for me. I have always said we decorate for Christmas after Thanksgiving, because I love Thanksgiving. I don't want it to be marred. That's just me. And I've always said that. My wife finally twisted my arm enough and got me to decorate before we leave for this trip. And I had to admit it wasn't that bad. But, you know, pray for me because my convictions are sliding a little bit here. But as we think about Thanksgiving and we have the traditions, and a lot of people have different traditions in their home, trying to point your heart towards being thankful. And if we pause for just a brief moment, we have a lot to be thankful for. But have you ever been in the spot, maybe even this year or a time in the past, that you knew you had a lot to be thankful for, but you just couldn't get to that spirit because it was a rough time? There were some things you were dealing with. There were some difficulties in life, and we all know life has its ups and its downs. And have you ever been in that spot to where you're in one of those low spots, that down spot, that downtrodden area of life where things just are not going right? And though you know that you have a lot to be thankful for, you have a hard time honestly expressing thankfulness. You can go to a Thanksgiving meal, and everybody knows it's Thanksgiving. And maybe you have this routine around your household and your Thanksgiving table to where you go around and everybody says thank you and says I'm thankful for this or I'm thankful for that. And you can pull something out and be like, I'm thankful for the sunshine today. But in your heart, you're just kind of going, I'm just going through the motions. Because right now, if I was honest, I'd have more things to complain about than I would be thankful for. If you were honest with yourself, you've been in that spot to where, though I'm thankful, it's not that I'm not thankful for these things. It's that if I was going to put where my energy was going to be at, it'd be at complaining about this in my life right now, not about being thankful for this. You ever been there? I believe if we're all honest with ourselves, we've been there before. We've been in that spot to where we know we're supposed to be thankful, but it's hard to be thankful. I want to take you to a story that's probably familiar with most of us, and I want to take a look at a phrase that is in this story that I hope will help us if you're in that spot now, or if you'll be in that spot in the future, of what do you do when you know you should be thankful? You know you should look at God and say, thank you for being good, but in your heart of hearts, you're thinking, is he as good as he should be? Is he really that good? Because things really aren't looking that good right now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and ask the Lord to meet with us this evening. Lord, I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Lord, I ask as we go into your word that you would help us to see something just quickly and briefly about this attitude of thankfulness. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jonah. Jonah, probably a story you heard from the time you were very young if you grew up in Sunday school. One of the first stories that we tell to our children, Jonah, the prophet of God, the preacher, the man of God, that God said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no way, Jose. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Why he said no to God is really unimportant to the message tonight. All we know is that God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. And Jonah embarked on the world's largest game of hide and go seek. And Jonah decided, I'm going to hide from God himself. Now, as he looked at Nineveh, that would have to take him up inland. And so he said, I'm going to go the exact opposite direction. I'm going to jump on a boat and I'm going to head to Tarsus. By the way, you can't get to Nineveh on a boat. It's impossible. And so he jumps on this boat. And really, what blows my mind is that Jonah, the man of God, the man that preached the word of God, honestly thought, I've done it. I have escaped God. And he gets himself into the bottom of the boat and falls asleep, content that he has now escaped God. Well, if you know the rest of the story, you kind of know that Jonah ends up in a difficult spot in his life, in the belly of a whale, as God prepares this great fish to swallow him up out there on the sea. We know pretty much how Jonah got in the whale. Jonah got in the whale because Jonah disobeyed God. But I had this question posed to me. How did Jonah get out of the whale? Did it just happen to be a certain timeline that God had decided that this is how long, Jonah, you're going to be in the whale? And it just was happenstance that, okay, now it's time? Was it that Jonah did something? Did Jonah inside the whale do something that caused God to respond with, now you're removed? How did Jonah get out of the whale? Jonah chapter number 2, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 1. Jonah chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Okay, number 1, what did Jonah do to get out of the whale? He prayed. Jonah prayed to God. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but let me point out just a few quick things here. Verse number 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. First thing I want you to remember is that Jonah was in this predicament because of himself. He could not claim, I'm in this belly of the whale because of God of persecution. No, it was because he had disobeyed. And yet, when Jonah, in a spot that was difficult, in a spot that was hard, in a spot that I think all of us would stop and agree, Jonah, you've got it pretty bad right now. You've been in the belly of a whale for 3 days. There's not much I can say I've gone through that I can compare to that and say mine was worse. Not many of us could come to that spot. He's in a bad spot. And yet when he cried in his despair, in his affliction, that was self-induced. It was his fault. He's the one that disobeyed God. He's the one that decided to run from God. And yet, even though it was his fault, even though it was his doing, even though he understood that, when he cried to God, God heard him. I think there's some times that when we get into a spot and we know it was of our own making, I can't cry out to God on this one. This is my fault. This is my doing. It was my sin. I had done something wrong, and now I deal with it, and now I'm just going to have to deal with it on my own. I'm so glad that God showed us that even Jonah, in the weakness of his disobedience, when Jonah cried unto God, God heard him. I want you to notice something very interesting in verse number 2. Out of the belly of hell cried I. It's an interesting phrasing that Jonah used. Verse number 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. You see, Jonah is there in the belly of the whale, and he just illustrates it, shall we say, in the words he uses, and he cries it out of the belly of hell, cried I. I'm living in what I would consider, Jonah would say, a living hell here. And he's there crying out to God, crying for God to forgive him, crying for God to remember him. And I want you to see what he says in verse number 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Where was Jonah when he cried out to God in verse number 6? In the whale's belly. And listen to what he says, in the whale's belly. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Was Jonah still in the belly of the whale? He was. He could not have been talking about the corruption that physically surrounded him at this time. There's only one thing that Jonah could be talking about. I want to give you a couple of thoughts and some interesting things that you find in the scriptures. As Micah 7, verse 18 and 19, God talks about casting all of their sins into the depths of the sea. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, you get this phrase, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Now, I'm just using my imagination, and I hope that you'll allow me to just be a little silly for a moment. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this happened. We're going to stick with what the Word of God says, that Jonah says, thou hast brought my life up out of corruption. But I want to imagine, as the story of Jonah, the chapter 1 ends with that God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Now, I don't know what kind of fish this was. Christ calls it a whale in the New Testament, so it fits that description. But God gives no other description about this whale. If I was going to imagine myself of what God did, my imagination kind of says that Jonah gets into the belly of this whale that was specially designed. And God takes Jonah, the prophet, the man of God, that has done many great things for God, and he takes him down to the very depths of the sea where the Word of God says he has buried our sins. And I don't know if this happened, but in my mind's eye, in my imagination, I can see almost God taking the scales of that fish and turning them a little translucent. And as Jonah's there in the belly of the whale, Jonah then begins to remember and begins to see all of the things that God has forgiven. All of the things that Jonah has done wrong there in the pit of hell, shall we say, as Jonah called it. Why do I believe this might have happened? I want you to read with me in verse number 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 69 that I think will add an interesting part to this truth. Psalm in chapter number 69. Psalm 69 is not written by Jonah. It is written by another man that found himself in the very deepest despair, much like Jonah was. And I'm going to read just a few verses here And I want you to just look at, you could almost hear Jonah saying these exact same things. Psalm 69, verse number 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Look down at verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Doesn't that just sound like Jonah himself is saying those verses? Man, it sounds almost like this could be said by Jonah. Verse number 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Do you notice something happening there in verse number 21? All of a sudden we have transported ourselves from Jonah to the man that God used to write Psalms, to a man that would come in many future days named Jesus Christ. A man that would face sorrow like no other man has ever faced. Jonah could cry from the belly of the whale and rightfully say, I am in a tough spot. I am in a difficult spot, even of my own making. I am in a hard spot right now. The psalmist David, I'm sure, with the enemies compassing round about him, he could say, honestly, I am in a difficult spot. I am in a rough spot. I have never been more depressed in my entire life. I am dealing with things that I have never dealt with. It's hard, and I can't find a way to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful right now. I'm in a difficulty. And he cries out to God as Jonah cries out to God. And you know what I love about verse 21? Is I have a God that can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. And my God can look at me in my deepest and darkest spot where I have a hard time being thankful, and he can say, I've been there. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to have those that should love you the most hate you. I know what it feels like to be rejected. I know what it feels like to be attacked. I know how you feel, and I love you. I want the best for you. Oh, what a blessing it is that we have a God that we touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I don't know if Jonah had a translucent whale to see his sins in the bottom of the sea. I don't know that. That's just a silly thought on my part. But I do know that in chapter 2, verse number 6, Jonah cries out, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. And I know for a fact he wasn't talking about coming out of the whale's belly, because he was still there. I believe with all my heart that when Jonah there in the belly of the whale, after 3 days, if I was to guess, of complaining to God, God, why have you let this happen to me? God, why is this so hard? God, what, you're the God of the universe. You are the one that created this whale. And he's right. And he cries and he accuses God. You know what? I think after 3 days, Jonah finally came to a realization that God, you're a good God, because you have brought my life up from corruption. God, you have saved me from my sin. In verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, what would call his soul to faint within him? If you took the time to think about all that God has forgiven you for, all the wrong that you've done, every time that you knew what was right and you rejected God's word and thumbed your nose at God and says, I refuse to follow you. I refuse to follow your word. And you ended up in a mess and he still loved you anyway. when you see all the corruption, the filth that God has forgiven you of, that will bring you to a spot where your soul will faint with you in you. How can anybody love me? How can anybody forgive me? In middle of verse 7, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What is the lying vanity? The lying vanity is when the devil comes to you and says, that's it, you've gone too far. God can't forgive you now. That's it, you've crossed a line with God. That's it, God won't forgive you anymore. Oh, he might forgive you. He's not going to love you like he used to. How could anybody love you, anybody, as filthy and wicked as you are? You know what all that is? Lying vanities. The devil can say that to you all day long. There is no spot that you can come to in your sin to where God doesn't love you as much as he always did. It doesn't matter how bad things are. Preacher, if I'm honest, I've been in a spot of my own making, a spot to where it was difficult, and within my own anger, I would shake my fist at God himself and say, it's your fault. You could have stopped this. You could have made this better. You allowed this into my life. And I would shake my fist at God and accuse God. And in that spot, he loved me. In that spot when I was at my worst, when I hated God in my soul, and I did not want to walk with him anymore, he still loved me, and he brought me up from that corruption. He saved me from that. I believe that Jonah, there in the belly of the whale, he realized, it's never going to get worse than this, because I have an eternal home in heaven. He's forgiven me. I have nothing to complain about because my eternity is secure in a Savior that loves me. He has brought my life up from corruption. Jonah prayed, and then notice verse number 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He prayed and he praised. He said, God, I don't care how bad it is. I don't care if I feel like it. If I take the time and I'm serious with you, God, you are a good God. God, I don't feel like praising you right now. In my heart of hearts, I have to admit, I'm a little angry. But you know what? I'm going to sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. When I don't feel like singing to you, God, I'm going to sing with everything I can muster. God, when I don't feel like you're being good to me, I'm going to thank you for being a good God. And I'm going to take the time to go through that list and say, God, you are good, and I know you're good because of this, because of this. And I'm going to go through my past, and I'm going to sacrifice with a voice of thanksgiving. How did Jonah get out of this deep despair? How did Jonah get out of the whale? Number one, he prayed. Number two, he praised. And then number three, he said, I will pay. Verse number 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I will pay that I have vowed. I don't know what vow Jonah made to God. God doesn't tell us what that vow was. We can take guesses and we can take stabs in the dark of what that vow is, but I think God on purpose didn't tell us what the vow was. Because there's somebody in here tonight that you vowed something to God. You've promised him something. You've said, God, I'll do this. God, I'll quit that. You've made that promise. You find yourself in deep despair right now. And God's saying, I want you to pray. I want you to praise. And it's time to pay. I know what you promised me. The Word of God takes a promise to God very seriously. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Perhaps Jonah at some time in his past, when God worked on his heart to be the prophet, perhaps Jonah had vowed to God, I will go where you send me. God sends him to Nineveh and he says, no. Here's Jonah in the belly of a whale, in the belly of the deepest despair, and Jonah prays to a God of mercy. God hears him. Jonah then praises this God because he is a good God. No matter how bad it gets, he is a good God. No matter how bad my life may get, I don't have to look forward to hell. I have heaven in my future. I know I have heaven. He's a good God. I don't deserve that. And then Jonah got out of that belly of the whale because he paid. He said, God, I will pay that that I have vowed. What I have promised to you, I will pay. Tonight, on an eve of Thanksgiving, perhaps you're in that spot to where you know you should be thankful, but life is difficult, stressful, it's hard. May I encourage you? Number one, make sure you talk to a merciful God about that. He understands your heart. He understands what it's like to be right where you're at. And he loves you. When you're angry and you know you shouldn't be angry, he knows why you're angry. And he loves you. Pray. Talk to God. Encourage you to praise. Hey, don't just say the quippy little things at Thanksgiving table that everybody's supposed to say. All these little things that we're all supposed to be thankful for. When you're praying and you're talking to God, why don't you give him a sacrifice of thanksgiving this year? Why don't you say, God, I honestly don't feel like thanking you for this in my life because I don't like it. I don't like what's going on right now. But God, you gave it to me for a reason. And though I don't want to, I'm going to say thank you. God, you have a purpose. You're a good God. Thank you. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. Pray, praise, and it's time to pay. You know what it is. You know that thing that you promised God that you're no longer doing. You know that thing that you said, God, you can count on me for this. And God says, I haven't seen that from you in a good long time. Perhaps it's faithfulness. Perhaps it's service. You know what it is. And God knows what it is. If you want to get out of that deep despair, pray, praise, and pay. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for allowing us to look into your word. I ask that you would just help us, Lord, in the deepest times of despair, that we would remember to come to you, to pray, to praise, and to pay that which we have vowed. We thank you for this time, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Dr. Carter?
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Tremendous message on giving God thanks, no matter what the circumstances might be. I suspect tonight, as the message went forth, that perhaps in your mind, some memory kicked in about something you promised God, you went back on. And when we do that, folks, we live with a guilt that we sometimes don't even recognize that bothers us. The discomfort that comes spiritually. We don't plan to stay that way. We plan to get it fixed. But we keep putting it off. Tonight, the invitation might be to all of us, let's truly look at what we are to be thankful for, but let's thank God for the hard places he's brought us through. And if we're in a hard place right now, I was thinking as Brother Case was preaching, there's people that have, like Sister Galvin, heading for the hospital now. People that'll, you know, sickness and troubles don't take a holiday. Happens all the time. But the Christian that can walk so with God that in the midst of those things, we can have what the Bible calls a peace that passeth understanding. Somebody might look and say, I do not understand how you could still say God's a good God, but the doctor said it was cancer. The doctor said this, well, God's still good. That is a great application. I don't know if Jonah could see those sins in the bottom of the sea, but he could see them in the bottom of his mind and heart and soul, I'll guarantee you. So can we. So can we. Well, have just a verse of invitation. Maybe God spoke to you about coming to the altar and renewing a vow. Talking to God about something that brought to mind tonight. Whatever He's asked you to do as we sing just a verse.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Turning back, no turning back.
Let's bow our heads again. No turning back. That's what we were singing. Thanksgiving Eve, we could call it that, I guess. Good time to look deep in our heart and soul. Scripture says, the Lord says, ye shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not a part of it, but all of it. Good time of year for us to do some searching. Count our blessings? Yes. If something has put you in the belly of the whale that's taken you further from God where praising Him's not so easy as preacher preached tonight. Still on your way to heaven because of Jesus? Can't get any better than that, folks. A lot to be thankful for. A lot to be thankful for. All right. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate Brother Case coming by. And I talked to him on the phone and found out he was going to be here. So we always claim a blessing when we can. Amen. And that was a blessing to us tonight, Brother Case. And appreciate you being with us. Got these other preachers visiting. Brother John and Jerry there, missionary, we appreciate y'all coming by. And one of the best things about Thanksgiving is family getting back together. Most of us would have to confess we don't see each other that often sometime. And if your family can gather around the Thanksgiving table and be thankful that one day you're all going to be part of that great family reunion, that's a lot to be thankful for, folks. If your kids are saved and your family is saved, I know in my case we'll gather around the table with some of my family that's in really poor health right now. We've been keeping them on the prayer list a long time. But one day we'll gather where there'll be no health problems. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Case. Y'all take a moment, catch your Brother Case and shake hands with him. Let him know that we appreciate him coming by. Hector, what about the choir? What?
No, sir. No,
I'm hard of hearing out of that ear.
No, sir. No practice tonight.
None?
No, sir.
All right. Sunday's coming anyhow. Shake hands. God bless you. Let's be dismissed.